Pray for Brother Bub. Let's hear what the Lord has for us to say, what the Lord has for him to say to us tonight, and take and apply it to our lives.
Good to be back with you tonight.
Amen.
Thankful that the Lord's made a way for us to be together just as we're gathered in his house. And, you know, I guess we'd like to have a house full tonight.
Yeah.
But the Lord made it possible that we could gather just like we're gathered. Thankful, I thought about when I was sharing these testimonies and songs, and even back in the prayer room and these objects. And I began to think about a scripture that I read even today. That if my people, which are called by my name.
Amen.
He also went on to say if we'd believe, if we'd repent, if we'd turn from our wicked ways, and he said some more there. I can't remember exactly how I read all of that, but it said, I'll hear from heaven and heal the land.
Amen.
And, you know, as we sit here tonight and we hear all the testimonies and the things, I believe that our land still needs healed just like it did when we got saved.
Amen.
There was people that prayed for you and I when we got saved, and you look back, it just didn't just happen.
No.
Somebody carried a burden for every one of us. Some of us believed, all of the people believed somewhere in their heart that I could be saved and that you could be saved. And they began to pray. And you know, I wonder a lot of times, and people begin to talk about burdens and what kind of burdens that we have. But, you know, until you truly, and I'm not just talking about, speaking of it. I'm talking about carrying a burden. You know what it'll do? It'll make us stay up at night and pray. It'll make us hunger and thirst after righteousness, not just for us, but for this man or this woman that's on her heart, that we see the devil distracting, tearing down, destroying.
Amen.
You know, I've got a scripture here I'll read in just a minute, but, you know, there's a lot to it. Sometimes, you know, a few times, well, let me say this, a few times, the Lord's give me a burden good enough to last no rest could come until I seen something done. I didn't care whether I eat or not. But my heart was troubled both day and night. And I worked without knowing much about what I was doing on the job. My heart was so heavy that all I could do was call upon him, and I can tell you how it worked for me. And I'm sure that if we get our people saved, and it's a time that we need to see people in the community saved, our kin people, our friends, them that we come in contact with every day. They don't just need to see us. They know us.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about back whenever you was lost? Did you run around every day picking the Bible up and reading it? No, I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
I dreaded it. I didn't know what to do about it. But some were along the way. I looked and I watched and I listened. And I begin to read people's lives just like a Bible. That's the only thing I knew to read. That was the only thing I could see. See, to read and understand this word, I must first be spiritually minded. Or it was just like reading a newspaper to me. It was the same way to you. It was just like a magazine that you pick up. Yeah, we sometimes I think, well, I know this because I've heard people talk about it. And I wondered about it. And I began to realize that I didn't know fully. I didn't know fluff about being saved. I didn't know nothing about His word. But I just kept reading as people walked by, as people talked, as people walked in this world. I watched that religiously. And I do remember this one old woman that was everything she said she was. And in the night she'd sit down in a chair and she had a light and she'd get her Bible up and she'd begin to read that. You know what it did for me? It scared me plumb out of the house. Yeah. I dreaded it. But I had respect for that woman. She never said nothing to me. She just walked right. She just lived right. And you know what? I took counsel from that.
Yes, sir.
I listened close to that.
Yeah.
You know what I begin to see? I begin to see a godly woman. I begin to see a woman and hear her in the night. See, I spend a lot of my life with her two of her sons. And I'd get in the bed of the night. They had so many youngins. Them two boys had to sleep up in the attic. And there's a few boards down through the floor, and you stayed on them boards, and you went around and you jumped over in that bed. You know what? Up in the midnight hour, you could hear her downstairs on her knees, yeah, calling out to God. She called out people's names that I never knew, but she began to say, God, will you please say this? Will you please pass by this, and then it looks like I'll never get there. Will you do that?
Amen.
I'll get to it in a minute.
Amen.
If God's will was that right. I began to listen to this woman.
Yeah.
I began to desire what this old woman had. My heart was broken when she'd get down there and begin to pray.
Yeah.
And begin to believe in what she was reading.
Yeah.
See, she could understand it, young as I could.
Yeah.
I never knew nothing about it. She knew. She believed in her heart. And you know what? She confessed with her mouth, not just to people, but her lips, she confessed to God. Up and out, I'd hear her confessing to God. God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you, God, for doing for me what you've done. You know what this little youngin said tonight, sitting there behind me? She said, I'm glad to be saved. And I'm glad to be here. Simple, ain't it? Just simple little words, honey. That's the way it is. He brought it to us simple. He made it simple for you and I that we could be saved.
Yeah.
He made it possible. I didn't make it possible. I wasn't the one that hung on the cross and died. You wasn't the one. None of us sitting here could have stood there. We couldn't have made it. But there is one that was worthy to open the seals.
Yeah.
To the book. That's in Revelation.
Yeah.
One. The Bible said, "Weep not, John, for there's one been found worthy from the line of the tribe of Judah. Every one of us was searched. The heavens were searched. The earth was searched. And the knees."
And no man was found worthy. John began to weep. Look and find. But you know what? He looked and he saw the little couple of things that were young in here.
Yeah.
He said, "Big boys like us."
Yeah.
"We want more of these that die for the sins of this world." I want to let you know tonight, you know, sometimes, and you're just like me, I'm just like you, but sometimes, we want to get up here that we might know something. I don't know nothing tonight. I don't even know how to preach. Do you know that?
No, sir.
Dean does not know how to preach. You know who knows how to preach? Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only one that can preach tonight. He's the only one that can give us what we need when we need it. I preached this morning on taking the counsel of God. And David said, he said, "I take... You hold my right hand and you lead me, and I take counsel from you, and one day I'll go with you."
Yeah.
Word. We're going to be with him because he went to the power place to set up for us.
Yeah.
And he said one day he'd come, he'd return, and receive us unto him. And you know what? Danny's going to take us to that place. You see, this God works in many, many, many mysterious ways. The Bible said to lean not to your own understanding. My thoughts is so low down that even though they look good, and they might sound good, but God's ways is far above ours, and when He does it, it's done right.
Amen.
I'm not smart enough.
No,
my understanding's not good enough to know who's the closest to hell. Do you know that?
That's right.
The Lord knows.
He does.
God Almighty, He knows. Let me tell you something. Tonight, young, if you don't have an object on your heart, if you don't truly know who needs praying for, ask God. Say, "God, you know that that's the closest to hell. You know that that's ready to leave out of this world."
Yeah.
You know him, or her, or that little boy, or that little girl. You know that. Yeah. I don't know it, but you do.
That's right.
God, let me pray for that. Dane, now you know what? Mine and your understanding would be that we stay here until time to go to the church house in Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I said to them down there at the house? And I said, "Tommy, how quick can you be ready to go to church?" You know what time it was? 5:15. Tommy said, "You do me like this all the time." I said, "Well, God does me like this all the time." I said, "Blame him." But I said, "I need to go to community chapel." And I said, "I'm going to community chapel." She said, "Well, I can get her ready in a hurry." You got me getting ready. But you know what? I got here in plenty of time. I seen the old pastor coming across the parking lot. Connie said, "Well, there goes Dean. He's late too." And I looked, and this round young man was pulling in beside of me as I was getting out, and we was talking about being late. But you know what? We made it.
We're all here tonight. We're all right where we're supposed to be. And God made a way for you and I to be together. He made a way for us to have counsel from Him. You know what? God gives us counsel from this here. He gives us counsel from preaching. You know what? People don't like counsel sometimes. People don't like to be told how dumb we really are and how smart God really is.
No.
But we're the dumbest of the dumb sometimes. I listened to my man one time. One of the best old preachers you've ever seen. Another old man, he was giving missing counsel. Went out to his house, I announced my calling. I made the sixth preacher in that church house. Got my pastor. And I was wrestling. Lord, why would you call another to preach in the church house and five already are sitting there? Why? And he was getting me down. The devil was working on me so hard. I needed some counsel about this matter. I went out there and just made somebody's man know, old man Ernest Gibson, Paul Gibson, I called him. But most of the time, I hadn't been saved that long. And then I had to go to him about why if I was saved, why was I having so much trouble? I didn't get to tell him that. He told me that before I asked him. That day I went out there and sat down on the bench. He'd always say, "Bub, come here and sit down on the porch." We sat down on the porch. He said, "I'm going to tell you something, son. It's just kind of like that man being in that parking lot."
Yeah.
He come in. He said, "Sit down and hear me. I want to tell you something." He said, "You know what? When I started preaching," he said, "I left my calling at Lush Chapel." And he said, I argued to God. God, there's already five preachers here. Why should I have to start preaching? And five preachers sitting here in this church house. And you know, he never ceased to amaze me. He never threw me way out here in left field somewhere messed up with what he decided his opinions was on. He trusted the true and living God for everything he'd done. He had kept counsel all of his life from God Almighty. Yeah. He trusted that counsel to be the best thing in his life. You know what he said? He said, "I began to pray, and I wrestled it, and I wrestled it, and I wrestled it, and said, 'Lord, why could you call me?'" He said, "I was on my knees and praying, and said, 'The Lord said, where else am I going to call preachers but in the church house?'" He said, "You'll all have a place to work one of these days." He said, "But sit here and get you some good schooling from these old preachers that's sitting here." He said, "Sit here and be brought up in God, and you will know what to do when you face things." He said, "I said, 'Paul, you know what you've done?'" I said, "Yeah." "I just answered the question that you come to ask me." And I said, "You're right." I said, "You answered it, and I never had to ask it." And I said, "You went to the same time that I'm going to." I said, "There's five preachers in the church. I made the sixth one just like you made the sixth one." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "God, that's how you work." I said, "Paul, could it be any better than that? That God would send me counsel before I even ask of you? The question that I needed to ask you and you went ahead and told me. Am I having such a hard time? He said, well, son, let me ask you this. Greg, you're about as blind as you could get then. But when I spoke and knew who it was, he said, Bub, let me ask you this. He said, did you ever have that fight before you went into that altar and asked the Lord to save you? I said, no. He said, well, it's a pretty sure reason that you got saved. It's pretty positive that you got saved. But he said, let me tell you something, son. He said, while you're praying, trying to find out if you're saved or not, these other people that need praying for ain't getting prayed for.
Can be that real. They didn't give me their opinion. They gave me what God said. They even went on to say, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they are my father. How do we know the voice of God? You know where this is? When you get saved, you know where God puts this? He put this on the tables of your heart and my heart. Why? So you and I can know right from wrong. We can know when God stands by and says, uh-uh, stop right there.
That wasn't there. Nothing. Let there be no chastisement. He got something on my heart. I found things in her that he said no to me before I ever found it in the Bible. You ever been there? But that really is, young man.
Yeah.
Before you ever asked him the question, why can't I do this? He's already said no. He's real
in preaching of the gospel.
I want to tell you how I know that he is in this word. You'll know the difference. You'll know the difference in gospel and racket. The gospel will come with the Spirit of God on the preacher, and it won't be a sound. It won't be a racket, but it will be the Word of God, and he'll line up with this Word.
You know how I know that? You know what got me? You know what got you? If you got saying the foolishness of preaching.
Right. Yeah.
The foolishness of preaching. Now let me ask you something.
We're all men and women of like passion. And Spook, well, Mike, I thought all I've ever caught him since we was young was old Spook. Ain't that right?
That's right.
But you know what?
Let me get me a sip of this water.
You know, before we got saved, when God spoke to you and I, Somewhere along this way, we have to face reality. Look, this God knows me. This God knows about me. And you know what? Ever since I've been saved by the foolishness of preaching, this God knows me. This God talks to me. You ever got a scripture on your heart and said, God, what does that mean? God, give me some understanding on this, and you never got it right then. And go to the church house and the old preacher man begin to preach and bring that scripture up and explain to you exactly what it means. That's God. And you've asked Him and you've received it. You got to believe it. Would you deny this? Oh no, preacher, never would I deny the Bible. What about the preaching in the Spirit? I'm not talking about Bob Clark, and I'm not talking about Dean. I'm talking about what God sends us. What God gives us, you know, it's easy for us to come to the place that we say, that's just old preacher now. That's just him. A preaching, that's old Dean. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes in power and demonstration, the Bible calls it. That ain't old Bud. That ain't old Dean. That comes from on high. You know what it does? It reaches our heart. That's all it can reach. It's not going to reach this flesh. If this flesh is all that gets stirred up, we ain't got much.
Right.
We ain't got much. But when it stirs this up, that Jesus placed in here, you see, people are always getting all excited about when they're going to get to heaven and how they're going to get there and how all this is. An old man used to tell me, my pastor, out here, we sat there and tell him, now, Jim, one of these days, I'm going to be gone, and all you're going to find is a little pile of clothes. A little pile of clothes, and that's all that's going to be left. You know what he said, Hugh? Where's this flesh you're going?
He said, you mean to tell me this is flesh is going to leave and go out of here and go to heaven? He said, it don't have no inheritance in heaven. He said, only this good part, only this part down in here that got saved, it's going to outstrip this old man and go on.
He said, yeah, but you know what about... There was two in the field, and one was taken, and one was left.
That's right.
He said, okay.
He said, him, there's you, there's the flesh, and there's this inward man. And when this inward man leaves out, this flesh ain't going to know where that inward man is. It's going to be a laying there, down in 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
That's right.
What we want to believe in our heart, that's how it is. It's dead. It ain't going to rise up. You know what the Bible says? Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth before this evil day come upon you and you say, have no pleasure in it. One of these days, this old thing is going to lay down. I'm 72 years old and I must still be in my youth because it's still in here. And when this thing here
runs its race and it lays down and dies, it's yours just begin to live. This thing that you're looking at just house this in here. And you know what? It's going to go be with Jesus, right? As I told you, what we know, Lord, leading us by the right hand and giving us counsel as He leads us, and He leads us through this life by giving us counsel, giving us His word, giving us His truth. You ever hear the preaching on, be sure your sins will find you out? I've heard it. I've preached it. I've felt it. You know what? Back in the day, right before June 1975, God kept speaking to me. Said, be sure your sins will find you out. Bow and give me honor and praise in this world. Are you willing to next to me the way you want to? And it won't be joyous. It won't make you happy in that day, but still I'll get honor and I'll still get praise. I didn't like that. That scared me. Then it scared me to death. And you know what? I began to say, Lord, help me get out of this mess that I'm in. Help me find life eternal. And you know what? The very night that I got saved in a revival, you know where I was at? I was in a Baptist church. So all Baptists ain't bad. All Baptists ain't bad. I don't think this thing's done by being a Baptist. I don't think it's being done by being a Methodist. When we get born again, we'll be what the Lord wants. He just wants me to be a Baptist. But you know what this old Methodist preacher did? And I've heard preaching all of my life. I kept pushing it back and pushing it back. And I kept saying, I don't have no need for that. That don't line up with my life. But you know what? Then when the Lord come by and spoke to me, I want my life to line up with that. And you know what He did? He lined my life up with His word. And that old Methodist preacher, you know what he did? He come in there and he got behind that pulpit. And he pulled his watch off. He turned it upside down over here on this left side of the pulpit. I remember it good. And that old man started preaching just like I'm preaching tonight. He said, I don't preach by time, I preach by the Spirit. Used to be a few like that. Used to be a few Baptists like that. They still a few. But you know what? Things like this, like so much as we go on. But I believe there'll be faith found here, and I believe there'll be somebody preaching the gospel when the Lord comes back and takes us home.
Yes, sir.
I believe we'll have the gospel part. But why? Because He knows we need counsel.
Yes, sir.
He knows we need Him in our life day after day after day after day. You need Him. Make it on your own. You'll never get there on your own. Ever how smart you think you are, do like Paul done. You know what? Paul was a smart man. Paul had been schooled at Gamaliel's feet, one of the smartest there was. And you know what he did? He counted that as nothing to come follow Christ. Girl come up to the house one time. Come up at my house. I lived over here on Dixie Creek. She come up there at the house and she said, Bub, I'm scared to death. Connie, I'm scared to death. I said, Tad, what's the matter? She said, they're saying that the world's going to end on a certain day. I said, well, hold on a second.
quit worrying about that mess. And I said, I'm going to catch you something. It ain't going to end that mess. You can count on that. There ain't going to be no fart and brimstone popping out of heaven on that day. I can tell you that. She said, how do you know that? For I said, even the angels in heaven don't know that day. I'm sure that these scholars that got this all figured out ain't going to know when the Lord's coming back. And when fart and brimstone's going to fall, ain't going to know it. You know, young, there's no other God that means you can trust. There's no other name under heaven that people can get saved by. There's nothing else to trust in this world. You can turn, what's that with the big old belly, what's his name, Buddha? Buddha. Connie used to get tickled. Maybe we'd go in that Chinese place and our big old Buddha was standing there. Big head there. I brought mine and wrote Buddha on the bed. Connie said, quit that. Quit that. I said, well, I think it's fine. People punch that big bed statue over there. It's going to save them. Let people look at it. They never could come up with no far down from heaven. They never could consume no sacrifices. None of them. But let me tell you, if you get your people on the altar, if you get your people right where they need to be, you know what God will do? He'll consume them and save them. Reach them. I'm about done. I was going to read to you, but this ain't as smart as you thought it was. Back in the prayer room, we were talking about God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Give it for you and I in a few moments. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Come. Even the county offered it. That's good water if our he likes good and cold. You know what? He said he had water that we'd never thirst again. He said he had something for us to eat that we'd never hungry. He passed all Peter and him over and he said, who would the men say that I am? You know what? They all named somebody there. And he said, Peter, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
You know what? Now listen to this. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this. God's the only one that can reveal us these scriptures. It takes a lot of counsel, doesn't it? Oh, buddy. Divine counsel, the Bible called it. In two or three places, even in Isaiah, it's called it divine counsel. I love divine counsel that can only come from God Almighty. That how people can answer you and your questions while they preach. Why, when you go to them for counsel, You'll never get the question asked a lot of times. And you know what? They'll answer your question before you can ask it. There's a good old fella one time. I don't call him any names. I don't like to. But he's getting a little crossed up on things. And he's getting his carriage right in front of his horse. And this old man went to talking to him. You know what he done? He went to chewing on this other old fellow. He went to chewing him up good. That old fellow never slowed down. He just kept giving him some counsel. And I sat there and I thought, well, he ought just grab him up and shake the fire out of him. Maybe he'd listen instead of talking. I never said that. I just sat down listening. You know what he said? He looked straight at me. He said, "You can't shake a man." I never said it. But he said, "You can't shake a man and help him." He said, "If you want to shake him, talk to him." He said, "That'll shake him," and he went back talking to that man. I've done it in my own power. I've done it in anger. I've done it in a way that wouldn't have helped that man, but it made an enemy. And you know what, Connie? That old man repented. He repented of his sins. You know what he did? He got right on board. He got his life straightened out. He got out of the dog of his hand, and he began to listen for the counsel of God. Divine counsel. Only God can give that kind of counsel. Only God can talk to you and I and help us.
Yeah.
You know what? I give credit. I guess sound like the old man Paul Gibson. That's what I've always called him, Connie. You knew him
good. Ernest. Yeah. Ernest Gibson. His wife, I always called her Ma. Paul and Ma Gibson. And you know what I did? When I was a little boy, I went by there and never had a clue. But I went by that old man's place and he gave me a little counsel when I was a boy. And I was selling rifle tickets for a pony. And we had a riding club here on Newfound and we was trying to figure out ways to make money. So I went to Power, whatever he plowed backer, he plowed it with a shovel. He plowed his ground with a shovel. And I thought, well, if old Paul could win that, he could plow that pony. And he could get his backer put out. He could hook her to a little old slant and drag his backer out. You know, hadn't got his backer in the barn. He's in the edge of the backer pack, but he'd cut a bunch of sticks and lay them across stalks and lay them across the wheel barn and hit roll them to the barn. Right. And his family would hit them up. Yeah. And then he'd hang them up. After a while, he'd get up there and put them up on the second tier. He just didn't take much over a tier or two.
And I thought, if I can get that Paul to buy a ticket to that pony and he could win it, he'd be in real shape. He could work that pony. I said, "Paul," I said, "we're raffling out a pony and I want to sell you a ticket for a dollar."
He said, "Son, sit down here. I need to talk to you." He sat me down there and he said, "I know you don't understand this, but," he said, "you're kind of gamble. You're wanting me to gamble." And he said, "I don't gamble." I said, "What do you mean, gamble?" He said, "Okay, whenever you go to play on a tilt boards was big in that day. Yes, a lot, but they was big." And Paul said, "Okay, when you go and play on a tilt board," and I've seen my daddy do that a lot of times. He'd run cars off, and he'd run guns off, and just all kind of stuff. But, you know, he said,
whenever everybody puts their money in there, and they call that tenth up here to see which tenth. What? He said, they gamble. He said, it's against the law. I said, well, I didn't say that. He said, well, if I give you a dollar for kicking, you put it down here in this bottle. And they said, you go to draw. They go to draw that out, and they draw Paul Gibson out of there. I've gambled, and I've won. But if I've not, if I don't win, I've gambled and I've lost. I said, Paul, I don't know that, but I said, I can see that. I can see that. You know what I done? I took my ticket and I was riding my own pony that day. And I turned around and I went right back to the house and I told my dad and mom, I said, I ain't selling no one of them tickets that's in there. Mama said, you got around there to Paul Gibson, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. And I said, he sent my bills on the corner back there. Told me I didn't need to be trying to talk people into gambling. Ain't buying them. He said, I ain't buying them. Is that convictions? Yes, sir. And God gives every heart convictions. When He saves them, He gives every one of us our very own convictions. And you know what? Don't never make fun of a man's convictions. If they're stronger than yours, don't never say, well, that's foolish, that's hypocrisy. That man wants to live as close as he can. You don't never damn somebody for that.
No, sir.
Well, I hope this has helped us all. It's helped me. It's helped me. Then, you know, Tennessee's a big old state, ain't it? I've been all over around Morristown and over in there. And you know what? I wouldn't know where to find nobody. Except to give me the address. And then I'd do it in that GPS thing. And I could just go right there if it didn't take me. They have took me to the wrong place. And I didn't get to the right place, but they sent me somewhere. They don't always work correctly. They can lay you out on the dry reef somewhere. But you know what? The GPS you have hauled up that day, and if you have half the he knows where for you to go. You just had to wait on him to sink. That don't just happen. Honey, that don't just happen. Youngest, listen. God's got a reason for every time. He's got a reason for you and I to be sitting here tonight in the church house just like we are. Well, I wish those so-and-so could hear this. It wouldn't have done all so-and-so a bit good. This is how God had us lined up tonight to sit in the church house together. And God sent us what we needed for us. Not sent you, but you sent us what we need. See, I'm going to read this too. It ain't from above, it's from below. If you eat what God sends you, take that as counsel from Him, you know what you'll do? You'll prosper in the Lord. Now, you remember what I said? In the Lord. I told them this morning, I said, you know, they put these things on that Facebook thing, and it'll say, if you want to get riches and receive all this stuff, Pass this on. All humbug. That's a bunch of junk. You know what they'll do? They'll use the Lord's name in vain. You know, and I'm going to say this, and I'm hushing, I'm leaving. But, you know, people say, oh, you shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. Well, you shouldn't. But a lot of people's in vain is to cuss something. You know what I'm talking about. Use the Lord's name with it. And you know what? There's a lot of ways to use the Lord's name in vain. Use His name for your own gain. That's using the Lord's name. And that's what they're doing. They're using the Lord's name in vain to they can get more. Walk and trust that junk. They've gone yet. Trust this. Trust this right here. This will give you the right direction.
I thank the Lord for sending us good counsel tonight. I thank Him about something, Mary. Well, since He started preaching, I thought about it. And He's brought us good counsel tonight about people down through Bub's life that's give him good counsel. That counsel comes from the same place. I go back a lot of times. I mentioned this maybe today or some point there. Every time I'd go to my Papa Rice, Earlene, and I'd have a question, and that's where I'd usually go, Julian. A lot of times, after I got saved, and I had any kind of wonders or question or something other about anything, I'd go to Papa, and I'd ask him, I'd say, what do I do here? How do I? And the man never did say, well, I think, not one time. He'd reach around, and he'd pick this up off the table right next to his chair, just like he was talking about that woman. He'd pick this up, and he'd say, son, let's see what God says about it. That's where he gives me counsel from. And I thought, as Bub was up there tonight, I thought about that scripture, and that's familiar to all of us, I'm sure, first chapter of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Yeah. Our counsel should be took, not with the ungodly. A lot of what Bub brought out there tonight, you know what is ungodly? He's talking about that man saying you ain't going to find nothing but a pile of clothes. I'm telling you, your flesh ain't going to heaven. Your old flesh, you know what this is? This is ungodly counsel right here.
Yes, sir.
This old flesh, yours and mine, it'll tell you what you want to hear. It'll try to lead you down a path that God don't want you to go.
Yeah.
It's the very thing right here that will give you ungodly counsel. What did the Bible tell us? It said the ways, every way of a man is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell me what I want to hear. I'm going to let me do what I want to do. But you know what God will do? He's got a law that if we'll meditate in it day and night, His counsel will rebuke our counsel. Yeah. This old fleshly thing right here. It'll turn you in a path that you thought was right. But God will show you it's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful tonight for a godly counsel. What's down on the inside? That changes a man. It makes him different.
Yes,
I appreciate Bub tonight. Appreciate him coming.